Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. Glory to the King forevermore, forever and ever. Forever and ever and ever, we give you glory and honor and praise, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. We bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes. I hear the voice of triumphant. I hear the voice of gladness of your heart. I hear that you rejoice that I am your God. I hear that you say that I'm your King, I'm your Lord. Yet I have shed my blood, yet I have saved you. But now is the time to rise up, to wake up, to go for what I call you to do on this earth. It's no longer time to wait, no longer time to sit, no longer time to wonder. I am the Lord, you God, who leads you to triumphant. And I will lead you every direction and every prayer that I point out to you so you can follow and do the thing that I call you to do.
Hallelujah,
yes,
hallelujah.
I am. Yes, I am.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the victory. Thank you that we are triumphant in you, more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, that your power has set us free, raised us up out of the pit, and brought us into the place of the Most High God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that we're seated with you in heavenly places, that we're in the highest place of authority in all of creation in you. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Our God is so good. He's been so good to us. There's none like him. He is truly more than sufficient, more than enough. He's over the top, overflowing, prosperous, abundant. Glory to God forevermore. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, this is the place, the atmosphere, and the presence of God where things happen. Things can happen in you. They can change you in a moment of time. It doesn't have to be something that comes to you, but it can be something that comes from you. God on the inside. All of a sudden, something comes alive on the inside of you. All of a sudden, a word becomes real to you. All of a sudden, a direction is given to you.
Yes,
changes your life, changes your course, changes your destiny.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Set you on course. And no matter what that is, no matter what that revelation is, no matter what that direction is, no matter what that instruction is, God has already given you the triumphant victory that you can walk in it, you can accomplish it, and you can overcome anything that tries to stop you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is not a devil in hell that can stop what God says. His word is a revelation in your heart, and the power of hell cannot stand against it. And you can walk on into the triumphant victory that he gives you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we could do that all day long. We ought to. You know, It doesn't have to stop when you walk out those doors. It don't even have to stop when you sit down. You could stay risen up on the inside. You could stay praising God on the inside. You could stay praying in the Holy Ghost on the inside and keep your heart open to God to receive from Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say this with me. There is no direction. There is no revelation that comes from the Lord to my heart that the devil can stand against. He cannot stop it. He cannot overcome it. And because I win, I will not quit. I will not give up. I will not back away. I will not even back off. But I will press in because I have a word from the Lord that is more than enough to empower me, to strengthen me, and cause me to overcome every obstacle, any obstacle, anything that tries to get in my way from reaching my goal of what the Lord said to me. I am more than a conqueror through Christ. Hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, if you want things to come alive inside of you, you want the Word to become real to you, you want the power of God and the Spirit of God to move in your midst, then the atmosphere has to be created. Yeah. And it's not that we're trying to create something or make it happen, but it's that which is within us needs to be freed. Yes. And it's called faith. Faith to receive, and faith comes alive in a faith atmosphere. You get in the atmosphere of where faith is, and it comes alive on the inside of you. And you're ready to receive what God has for you. Hallelujah. 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 There's no going back. There's no going back. If you start to step back, you're going to say, what has happened? Things just don't seem to be right. And then you need to realize, I've stepped back. I need to step up. Yes. Amen. Yes. And step back up into where you need to be for the Spirit of God to be able to move. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 You see, it's just about giving Him time, giving Him the time that He needs. Now, sometimes we say things like, well, you know, God don't need much time. He can do things in an instant. He can do things in an instant, the instant you get connected with Him. But if you're not connected with Him, it's going to take time to get to that place to where He can move. And He desires to move. He desires to move in your life. He desires to move in the people who's going to fill those seats around you. He desires to move in the people that are outside that need to come in. He desires to move in this community. That is His desire. That His presence would have a place of freedom to move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, when the word of faith, the word of my power that come from you or come from me, it accomplished much. That's how I created this earth. That's how I created you to send for my word. That my word not return to you void. It will accomplish what you created, to do. In the atmosphere, I can move, I can create it, I can bring for the victory that you're looking for, the answer you're yearning for, the wisdom that you're seeking for. Yes, I am all those things, but you have to speak. The word of faith, come to me, it not return to you, boys.
Yes, yes. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. See, the word of faith is not so much the word of your mouth, it's the word of your heart. that comes out of your mouth. That is the word of faith that is preached. The word is near me, it is in me, in my heart and in my mouth. Not just in my mouth, just words. It's in my heart.
Yes.
And out of my heart comes the forces of life.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And it will not return to God void. It will accomplish what it was sent to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm just going to say that. Go ahead and sit down. Don't sit down on the inside. Just because your butt's down, don't let your spirit be down. Amen. Glory to God. Open up with me, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some things have been laid out to teach today, but we'll see if the Lord would let me preach rather and teach. Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead and he appears on the earth. Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. You know, now sometimes people would say, well, if God opened my mind, I would understand. Well, he did when you got born again. In Ephesians 1:18, he said, "The eyes of your understanding have been enlightened," is the way it's originally written. They have been enlightened. Your mind, your spirit, you've been enlightened. You've been opened up to be able to understand. Amen. So say that with me. I am able to understand the Word of God in my heart. I can receive it. I can take hold of it. And revelation comes alive in me because I have been enlightened to understand. Amen. Amen. Verse 46. "And he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.' And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some people say, well, you know, the early church, they didn't have buildings to go to. They met in houses. Well, that's because they were thrown out of the temple. You know, Jesus fed the multitudes, 5,000 men plus women and children. So the estimated crowd's around 25 to 35,000 people, and he fed them. See, that was the first mega church. There's nothing wrong with mega churches as long as you got the right preacher and the right helpers, you know. So Jesus, at this point, he's already died on the cross. He's ascended. He's come back to earth. He's shed his blood on the mercy seat. He's come back and talked to his disciples. And he had paid the price for our sin. He took on the judgment that should have come on us. Isn't that right? He not only paid the price for our sin and carried away our sin, but he carried away all the effects of sin. all of the diseases, all of the lack, all of the sicknesses, all of the anxieties, all of the calamities, all of fear, all of pain. He carried it all away. And anything that hell has to offer any human being, Jesus has already bore it all away and disconnected us from all the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything that hell could bring to any human being through the access of sin that is in the world. That doesn't mean sin's in your life, but sin is in the world because when Adam sinned, then that opened the door to all the things of hell, whereas before Adam sinned, everything was perfect. But after Adam sinned, there was physical death, there was sickness, there was anxiety, there was fear, there was hatred. There's all the things that hell would offer. But Jesus has paid the price for all of it, bore it all away, and disconnected us from it so we could choose to live free from it all.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just like Jesus offered justification to anybody and everybody that would ever believe in him and receive him into their life. So also, he offers freedom for all that hell has to offer through anybody that would believe. Amen. You know, John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave the right, the power, and the authority to become children of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Over in Romans, go to Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Jesus freed us from it all. Freed us from sin, the judgment of sin, the effects of sin. He did it all that was necessary. Hallelujah. Romans 6:22 says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you desire your benefit, resulting in sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Yes. Hallelujah. Justified and free from sin.
Yes.
Justified and freed from sin. And we have become enslaved to God. Now that word enslaved means to be put into a position of dependence on God who made us righteous. When we got freed and we got justified, we were put into position to where we can now set our dependence on God. Hallelujah. The God that is more than enough. The God that is all sufficient. God, the Almighty, the Most High. The God that supplies all of our needs. The God that is our healer, that is our banner of protection. The God that is our righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The benefit of righteousness is sanctification. When you got born again, you got sanctified in your spirit. And the final outcome of it is eternal life. So if we got justified, if we got freed from sin, and in our spirit we were sanctified, then we could depend on God. Of course, we're enslaved to him, so we can depend on God, depend on his word, depend on his spirit to be empowered to live in sanctification. Thank you. I see that enthusiasm has dropped a level. Do you know why most people don't get excited over sanctification? Because they don't understand where the power of life real, where it relies on the power of life comes from that place of sanctification. I know you want to think, oh no, all I need is the word in my mouth. Nah. That's part of it. But that word don't come from any place if there isn't sanctification. Hallelujah. But the good news is we don't have to do this on our own. It's a faith operation. See, the just shall live by faith. Well, you need faith to live a sanctified life. You don't? Okay, we'll explain that as we go along, because that might be new to some of you. So go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to read the first 8 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it says, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. See, everybody could say, well, you know, I've come to a certain point in God, but the encouragement of the Word of God is press on. Amen. You're not finished yet. Excel all the more. He says, for you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel, which is your body, in sanctification and honor. And in lustful, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. So the will of God is sanctification. The will of God for believers is sanctification. Now, when you got born again, you got sanctified in your spirit. But now we need to become sanctified in our life. Sanctification is, another word for sanctification is holiness, or practical righteousness, working out the righteousness that you were made to be when you got born again. Amen. Sanctification is the resultant state, the behavior befitting those that are separated and sanctified to God. So in other words, again, just like it would say in the Wish translation about Romans 12, do not assume an outward expression that does not come from your inner being. The Apostle John said, I have no greater joy than this, than to hear that you are walking in truth. And truth is when your inner and your outer lines up together. When that was walking exactly the same, that is truth. So we could say that sanctification and holiness is a consecration and a dedication of life to God. Offer up your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable and spiritual service of worship. So when we talk about, and see, here, you got to get rid of that religious mind. Because when we talk about consecration and dedication to life, we're not talking about going to a monastery. We're not talking about being a monk. Thank you, Jesus. We're just talking about righteous living, that my living is separated, consecrated to God, and it don't look like the natural man. It don't even look like the carnal man. It is a life sanctified unto God. I don't go along with the majority of what the world says, and I don't even go along with the majority of Christians if they're in an area of carnality. I'm going to go along with living separated and consecrated to my God. That is the will of God for my life. Now, how many of you always said, oh, I want to walk in the will of God? Well, there we go. There's a will. Yeah, but I'm looking for, well, if you don't do this, you ain't getting nothing else. And we'll explain. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. Sanctification is good. Say that with me. Sanctification is good. Let's try it again. Sanctification is good, and it's good for me. Amen. 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21. Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, some to honor, some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he'll be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. All right? So, if he cleanses himself of what? The wood and earthenware vessels that dishonor. If you cleanse yourself of these things and taking on more and more of being a vessel of gold and silver and a vessel for honor, then you will be sanctified and become more and more useful to the master. So he's speaking this to believers. He's not speaking this to unbelievers. He's talking about if we cleanse our life, and we will become sanctified and useful. So the more we cleanse, the more useful we'll be. We are more useful today than probably we were 5 years ago, we would hope.
Yes, it is.
And we would hope that 5 years from now, you'll be more useful than you are today. Not because, oh, I've memorized more of the Word of God and I know how to talk it. No, it's because of a sanctified life. Just knowing how to talk the word don't make you useful. Because talking the word does not release the anointing. Unless it's coming out from a place of life. Are you with me? Jesus paid for our sin. He bore away our sin and judgment that was connected to sin. He gave us justification. When we believed in him, we received his justification in our life. And we became born again, sanctified in spirit, the spirit man being the real man. Isn't that right? Jesus did all that was necessary so we could take control and take authority in our life. Two words that everybody loves, control and authority. He gave us his word. He gave us his Holy Spirit. He set us in position in Christ at the right hand of the Father and gave us his unlimited grace. And we are empowered by the word of God, by the Spirit of God, to accomplish, to control, and take authority in our life. 2 Peter says he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Isn't that right? Amen. Why did he give us all things? So we can live sanctified. Yes. See, he didn't just give you everything for life. Oh, bless God, I got everything for life. No, he gave you for life and godliness, which means to live a godly, sanctified life. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is the justifier of the sinner, and he is the sanctifier of the righteous. He's the justifier of the sinner and the sanctifier of the righteous. Now, as a sinner, and like every sinner, and like when we were sinners, we had to choose to get saved. And then we had to act accordingly in order to be saved, receiving Jesus into our life. The believer has to do the same thing. The believer has to choose sanctification and then act accordingly. There's no difference. What it took to be saved is what it takes to live saved. It never changes. You know, God is not a God of having to do things 15,000 different ways. He is one. There is one way with God, and everything works the same. And if we would understand that, your life can really get on track. Yes. One way to do everything and anything in the kingdom of God. One way to be led by the Spirit. One way for God to speak to us. One way for God to direct us. One way that God moves through his word. One way that that word can work in your life. One way that we could see results of the word. One way of the seed growing in our life. One way.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you'd learn that one way, you'd give your mind a break. Jesus did everything that was necessary so we could be justified. And he also did all that was necessary so we could be sanctified in our life. We are a new creature in Christ. We're filled with his very life. We're born of his Holy Spirit. We may be filled with his Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You know, if you speak in tongues and all, you know, 9:30 service on Tuesday morning, if you have opportunity to come, it's a great time to come. You know, hear some worship, get in some teaching, and then spend some time praying. Yeah. Great time. Because the more you learn to pray out from your spirit, the less you will think, am I really hearing God? And the more confident you will become. Yeah. Because God has one way of doing things. God has one way for you to correctly speak in the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues out from your spirit. And it's the same place God speaks to you. Same place God gives you revelation. It's all out from your spirit. And if you'd get in the habit of praying in the Holy Ghost on a regular basis and stop saying, I don't need to do that, or have to being too busy to do it, or being busy with 5 and 6 other things while you're just kind of gradually and ritualistically praying in the Holy Ghost, and set some time aside and pray in the Holy Ghost and get connected in your spirit, the more confident you will be of God speaking to you, God leading you, and God directing you in your life. And when he speaks to you, you will say, I know that voice and I know where it's coming from. Instead of playing the statistics game where you get it right maybe 5% and you're missing out on 95. The days of hoping to get it right can be over for you. Amen. And the days of thinking you get it right can be over for you. And you can absolutely know you get it right, not because you're so smart, but because you see results. If there's no results, you're not hearing what you think you hear. No, it's not anybody else's fault. You think it's somebody else's fault, you've learned too much from politicians. It's our fault, not anybody else's fault. If I heard right, I'm going to have the results, because his word don't return to him void. If there's no results, I didn't hear. And you need to admit it. You got to get off that high horse and admit that. Because if you don't get off that high horse, life will knock you off, and that's when you get hurt.
Yeah. Yes.
But you can choose to climb off.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
And humble yourself before God. Hallelujah. See, God is trying to get you empowered. He is trying to get you empowered. He's trying to move you out of a religious attitude, trying to move you out of ritualistic things, and he's trying to get you empowered. Empowered by the grace of God. That is only connected to by faith. Not connected by our rituals, but only connected to by faith. Since Jesus has done all of this, since he has empowered us, we are born again. Jesus is Lord of our life. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we are empowered. Now we can live a sanctified life. Because I've been sanctified in my spirit. I am already sanctified in me, so I can live a sanctified life. I'm already a born-again believer, so I can live like a born-again believer. I'm already filled with the Holy Ghost, so I can live like I'm filled with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Jesus has given us everything so we, as a sanctified spirit, could live a sanctified life. We can cooperate with his word, we can cooperate with his spirit and being a doer of the word in our life. That we can start living in the spirit, start living by the spirit, and start living out from our sanctified human spirit, out from that born again creature, new creature that I've been made to be. Living out from that place. Instead of living out by everything I see and everything I hear and all this stuff having to direct me, and I got to make decisions because of all of this or all of that. Geez, don't you ever get tired? Do you ever get tired of your mind just running you in the ground? Start living out from your spirit. Oh, I'm just trying to find a little hope. Where are you running? There ain't no hope out there. Where are you running for hope? Where are you running for your joy? Where are you running to for your peace? Well, the answer is very simple. Who is your peace? Who is your joy? Who is your answer? Who is your hope? Oh, Jesus, help me. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I need. Oh, Jesus. There you go again. You got to get in your heart. It's out from your heart. You can be in the most frenzy things going on in life. Mm-hmm. You know, frenzy will keep you so busy, but it keeps you out of faith. Yep. And all you have to do is stop and get in your heart. Oh, there's that peace. Oh, there's that joy. Thanks, Jesus. See you later. And you run back out into the same thing you were doing. Instead of going in that peace and in that joy. Amen. Now, some people say things like, well, when I got born again, the real me got saved and the real me was sanctified. Well, then live according to how you know you are. Live like who you know you are. If you've been sanctified, then you should live that way. Well, it's what goes on in my spirit that counts. Oh, so because the grace of God has delivered us, so should we continue in sin? Oh, don't tell me there's a difference between a dark black sin and just a white lie and a white sin. And, you know, we take all of these things and we put them on different levels and different to God. You know, we used to, when we were brought up in church as a kid, it was called mortal sins and venial sins. I never understood the word venial. I don't know what that means. I just knew it wasn't mortal. Mortal, it sounds like something will kill you. So there was mortal sins and there was venial sins. And God's like scratching his head like, where do people get this stuff from? Sin is sin. A lie is lie. Healing is healing. No matter what it is, it's all the same. But because we have to have so many different ways of doing things, because if it's just one way, I'm going to get bored. Honey, you can't even handle the one way. Are you kidding me? Bored. You've been saved, what, 30 years maybe? 40 years maybe? Maybe 20 years. And you still haven't got it all together. I've been saved 42 years now. I don't have it all together. My wife will testify to that.
Yes, I will.
So how could I be bored if I don't have it all together? You know when you get bored? When you go, well, that's enough. And then you slip back into the old way of living and actually lose the stuff that you got. If the real me has been saved and sanctified, then I should live according to who I know I am. See, this is a key thing, knowing who we are. Not just sitting here. And not just amen, amen, Pastor, yes, yes, praise God, glory to God. But when you're out there, when the crap hits the fan, when you're pressured and things have come upon you, and you're just so distracted and have so many things going on, you don't know which way is north, south, east, or west. That's when you need to know who you are.
Yes.
Living out of who you are when you know who you are. Well, how are you going to know who you are out there? By knowing who you are before you get out there.
Yeah.
It's called looking in the mirror and not being a forgetful hearer. Knowing who we are, living out of who we are, and acting like who we are in Christ. You know, the woke community, God bless them, I believe they're going to get saved.
Yes. Yeah.
But the woke community wants to confuse our young people about who they are. Are they male? Are they female? Maybe they're both. Maybe they're neither. Well, you know, it's what I always say. If you're confused, take a little look-see.
Yeah.
And you'll know right away who you are. Because they want to make all this gender stuff to be soulish, emotional, feelings. And it's not. It's not. It's all physical, and it's only physical. Once you step out of that physical body, there is no more male and female.
That's right.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. So, you have to know that truth because you'll come across people that need to know that truth. You know, when I was born, you know, they didn't have sonograms back then and baby reveals. In fact, we just went to our grandson's baby reveal Saturday. We're having a great-grand baby boy. Yes, I was a good grandpa, but I'm going to be a great grandpa. So, yeah, I will. Because it's a boy. Keep the tradition going. So anyway, where was I? What was I saying? Oh, yeah, okay. So when I was born, you know, they didn't have the sonograms and all that other stuff. It was in the birth. Even when my son was born, it was in the day at the birth you find out, boy or girl. And when I was born, the doctor said to my mother, oh, Mrs. Raimondo, congratulations, you have a little baby girl. Oh, wait a minute. I've been confused ever since. Are you with me? All he had to do was take a second peek, and it was like, hey, made a mistake. It's really that simple. It's so simple. And simple don't confuse you. It's when you want things difficult that you confuse yourself. If we know who we are, we know how to act, then we can choose and live accordingly. You can always choose. See, this is the whole thing. Jesus set you free to make a choice. Before you got saved, you didn't have a choice. In fact, go over to Romans 5:17. Because we didn't have a choice before we got saved. It says, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, that's Adam, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. All right, so he says, by the sin of Adam, death reigned. Death reigned in life. Look at the Passion Translation. It says, death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. Death was your king before we got saved. Now, not so much talking about physical death, although it could get there, but we're talking about decay, ruin, corruption, destruction in our own life. Isn't that right? Death was in charge. The nature of death, the spirit of death, it was all in charge of our life. I know we think that we had the world by the tail. We figured, oh, I'm smart enough. I could figure all this stuff out. I got this thing going. And then all of a sudden, death comes over and whoop, pulls the carpet out from you. And you go down into this tailspin. And while you're spinning and rolling, you're trying to figure out, how am I going to fix this? What am I gonna do? And you never did get it fixed. In fact, some of us have taken that same thinking into our very Christian life, and after 30 years, still haven't fixed it. Why? Because we only want to meditate on what we want. And we do not allow the Holy Spirit to show us what's wrong with us. Now, if you don't think there's anything wrong with you, we both in trouble. Because if there's nothing wrong with you, you are as good as it's ever going to be, and I have no hope. I don't have any hope if you're as good as it's ever going to be. If I'm as good as it's ever going to be, you have no hope. So, death was reigning in our life. Death was in control. The Weymouth translation says, death seized the sovereignty. Death seized the sovereign. Why? Because when God created man, he made you the sovereign on the earth. He put you in control. He put you in charge. Mankind was the ruler of the earth, unlimited, unrestrained, and unbound. That's how God made us. But death seized that sovereignty. Remember when Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan said, look at all the kingdoms. I give it to whomever I wish because it's been handed over to me. Who handed the sovereignty over to him? Adam. Adam handed the sovereignty over to Satan. And he was reigning. He was in control and he was in charge. The message translation, it says, if death got the upper hand through one man's wrongdoing, the upper hand, death got the upper hand. Can you imagine the breathtaking recovery life makes, sovereign life, in those who grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift, this grand setting everything right that the one man Jesus Christ provides? Hallelujah. Those who receive the grace, the gift of righteousness, the unlimited grace, those that are born again, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, accepted his sacrifice in their life for the price of their sins, these are the ones that are to reign in life through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Reigning in life.
Amen.
You need to study about some countries that have kings and understand what it means to reign. When you're in a country where there's a king that reigns, there is no division of departments. You know, the executive branch, the congressional, the lawmaking branch, the legislation branch, and then the judicial branch. There is no separation of power. It's the king, and he's in charge. And where the word of a king is, there is power. Amen. Where your word is, there ought to be power. That means our life can be better than where it's at right now. Because all I need is a revelation of the fact that I'm the king. I've been made the king. I can reign in life through the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Amplified Bible says, that we reign in life through the Lord Jesus Christ. That when he became King of Kings, we are the kings on the earth, but he is the king. And we reign under his kingship. We are the sovereigns in the sovereign kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'm so tired of the nonsense about, well, you know, God's sovereign. Yes, he is sovereign. And he has set up a sovereign king. And he has returned you back into the position of being a sovereign. It's not, well, God's sovereign, he does what he wants, and whatever happens is up to God. Who's the screwball that comes up with, oh, yeah, the lazy person that don't want to study? That's who comes up with this stuff. You know, Rick Renner used to say that when it comes to writing commentaries, you usually have Baptist people write commentaries, Reformed people write commentaries, and they all write commentaries. And he says, you know why Word of Faith people don't write commentaries? He said they're too lazy. I didn't like that. But the point is, if you're too lazy to study, you're going to go by whatever anybody tells you. If all you do is open your Bible or read the TV, and that's all you do all week long, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. That's like me having a sidearm, and I practice with it about once every 6 months. If there's a break-in, I'm going to be in more trouble than the person breaking in. Now, a lot of people think, well, you know, when it comes to a sidearm, all you have to do is know how to use it. No, you have to know how to use it under the duress of adrenaline rush. That's how you need to know how to use it. When you are facing a look down at somebody else's weapon, you have to know how to deal with it. And it's the same thing with the enemy. So you can, oh, I know what the word says about healing. Oh, I know what the word says about having my needs met. I know what the word says about this. But then it hits the fan. And now you're looking at it straight on, face to face, toe to toe, nose to nose. And the pressure's on. And if it don't happen like now, you're in trouble. And you know that. What are you going to do? And this is why Smith Wigglesworth said he was so concerned about healing revivals and the power of God to heal people in the Western world. Because there are too many options being given out. So I come nose to nose, toe to toe, and face to face with this thing. I'm under great pressure, and I know what the Word of God says, but I can go do this. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And then we can't seem to push past where we're at because we keep looking at the options. And yet we are the sovereigns. Living in a sovereign kingdom. He says, can you imagine the breathtaking recovery? A breathtaking recovery. See, if you actually had a revelation, and I believe you will get this revelation of the fact that you're the sovereign, that you'll get that revelation. When you get that revelation of sovereign, it's a breathtaking experience of the reality. that I have been placed back into a position of sovereignty. Jesus has put us back into the setting everything right position. How many of you would say, well, everything's set right in my life? Anybody? What are we waiting for? I mean, that would be the next question, wouldn't it? What are we waiting for? If you're the sovereign, what are you waiting for? Just imagine the king sitting on his throne, and he wants some stuff done in his kingdom. Well, I sure hope somebody does something about this. Well, I don't know. Whatever. Oh, whatever happens, happens. He ain't going to be king long. That's what the Bible calls the old foolish king that's forgotten how to receive instruction. See, there's a lot of kings in the kingdom that know how to give instruction. They know how to speak. They don't know how to receive instruction. And this is why when we say things like walking by faith is about the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life, not just the Word of God in your heart, in your mouth. And people are like, oh, I don't get that. Because you don't know how to receive instruction. Which goes back to 9:30 service on Tuesday and praying in the Holy Ghost and get connected back with God on the inside. Hallelujah. Jesus has placed us back in the original position, just like Adam before he sinned.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
You have original sovereign rulership.
Thank you,
maybe not on the whole earth, but at least in your life.
Yes.
And you know, and I know, your life could be better.
Yes.
You know that, and I know that.
Yes.
So I'm believing God for a revelation of the fact of sovereignty. The Weymouth translation says that you have received overflowing grace. See, more than enough grace, unlimited grace. That you would get an understanding and a revelation of the unlimitedness of His glory and His grace. Now, you can know that in your head, but it hasn't changed your life. The unlimited grace. Well, if you actually had a revelation of unlimited grace, then the next question would be, so what can I do where I can't be stopped? What would you do if you knew you could not fail? If you knew you couldn't be stopped, what would you do? Go for what? I mean, understand that. But what would we go for? I mean, what? See, why isn't our life better than where it is right now? Because we don't have a revelation of the fact that grace is unlimited. I have a head knowledge of it, but I'm not walking in it. You're not walking in it because it hasn't come alive yet. But the more it comes alive, the more we can walk in. And therefore, the more our life increases, the more our life changes, the more results take place in our life. Amen?
Amen.
And this is why I say this every day, oh Lord, that you would unveil within me the unlimited riches of your glory and your grace. Unveil it within me, the unlimited riches of your glory and grace. It's Ephesians 1:18 in the Passion Translation. I'm sorry, Ephesians 3:16 in the Passion. Unveil within me the unlimited riches of your glory and your grace. Now, I know God lives inside of me. But in that glory is an unlimitedness. The grace of God has been given to me, but in that grace is unlimitedness. Just think about where you could go in life if you'd had a revelation just of that. There's not a devil in hell that can stop you. And we can all say yes and amen, but yet the devil has stopped you how many times? And he's still stopping you. How do you know? Because you're only at the point you're at. I'm only at the point I'm at. So we can say yes, yes, amen, amen, glory to God, but why are we only where we're at? He said here that you would grasp with both hands this wildly extravagant life gift. Grasp it with both hands. This is not a casual hold. This is not like, oh, well, when I get to church, I get there. Well, if I have time, if I get in the Word, I get in the Word. Well, you know, if I this and then I, if I, you know, well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I mean, I like to go to church, but you know, other stuff might come up. Somebody invited me for coffee. You know, we just built a new deck on the back of the house, and it was just such perfect weather this Sunday morning. So I stayed home on the deck and drank coffee. That's not grasping with both hands. Grasping with both hands is do what you have to do no matter what the cost. That's grasping with both hands. This is a death grip. You have to have that death grip on what Jesus has given to you and refuse to let go of it and refuse to have it pulled out of your hand. It's a wildly extravagant life gift. Wildly extravagant life gift. This is not just a life gift. It's an extravagant life. No. It's a wildly extravagant life gift. This is something beyond your wildest dreams, beyond your imagination, beyond your ability to ask God for something. It's beyond. Wildly extravagant life gift. Oh, Jesus. That we would get a revelation of this.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
A lot of people don't have a grasp on this life gift, and that's why the devil comes to steal. Extravagant life gift, this grand setting everything right. Starting in your spirit at the new birth. See, things got set right in your spirit at the new birth. And it's still in there. When's it going to come out? Work out your salvation. Work it out into our life by the power of the Spirit and our cooperating with Him. When was the last time you got into the Word of God and spent some time with the Lord to find out what He would want you to do rather than what you want Him to do? Lord, what would you have me to do? What do you want to set as a course in my life? What direction do you want me to go? What is your will for me to accomplish? Jesus provides it all, but we have to take a grasp on it. Isn't that right? The Passion Translation of Romans 5:17. It says, death once held us in its grip. Are we in the same place? No. Death once held us in its grip, and by the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom. Enjoying our regal freedom. Regal means majestic, that which is fit for a king. It's magnificent. It's stately. It's dignified. It's a lavish freedom. It is breathtaking freedom. Not only having it, like most Christians are, yes, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I thank you that I'm free. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. He said, enjoying. Are you enjoying that majestic freedom? Or are you just trying to hope to get through another day? Just trying to get through another week. But yet we ought to be enjoying this majestic freedom that has been lavishly poured out upon us. Everything that we need for life has been given to us. Everything we need for life has been given to us. Well, you know, bless God, I got food, I got shelter, I got clothes, I got water. That's good. And Jesus went to hell so you could have a drink of water. He paid the price of your sin so you can have a happy meal. It's time to enlarge your tent. It's time to stretch out your thinking. Well, that's just the way I've always been. Well, maybe that's always been your problem. Now, I know that's hard to admit. I remember the day that there were things that in our house was not going right, not doing well, And I went and complained to God about it. And I said, God, why are these happening? I said, as a kid, I said I would never have this happen in my life because that's what went on in my house. I said, why is this happening in my life? And the Lord said to me, because you're just like your father. I'm like, oh, geez. So the way my father was is what created the problems in the house that I didn't like. And then I became just like my father and had all the same issues. And I had to make a decision that day. I will not be like this anymore. And asked the Lord to help me and got in his word and started to find out what I needed to change. I know Daddy loved you. I know Mama, you were the twinkle of Mama's eye. She loved you. They'd do anything for you. But they weren't Jesus. They weren't perfect. And we've learned wrong things from everybody. Amen. You know, my grandson, my oldest grandson, he came to me one day. And I told him, I says, you know, he was about 29 or 30 at the time. And I told him, I says, you know, I'm very proud of you and happy about things in your life and the way things are going and, you know, your work and what you're doing. And he said to me, he says, I have learned my work ethic from you. And I was like shocked because I never sat down and taught him anything about it. He learned it by watching. And that's good. And he's got a good work ethic. But I'm still not Jesus. And it doesn't mean everything I've taught him or everything he learned from me is right. You understand? And this is why you always have to be before the Lord and find out what needs to be changed. Because you've got, every one of us have things in us that are hereditary. And heredity is not always a good thing. There are things that need to be changed. Well, what we need, Jesus has provided it for us. And it's all available through this gift of perfect righteousness in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, praise God. I could go on for another hour or so. But I'm going to have pity. I'm going to have pity. I'm coming over to this side. But really, I could go on like forever on this whole thing. So I'm just going to stop here. And we'll see where it goes for next week. Whether we continue on with this or just what's going to go on. But I believe God is working and wanting to impart things to you. He is wanting to put you into a position and put something into you that will not only affect you spiritually, but it will touch you emotionally, mentally, willfully. It'll affect your body. You'd be surprised how when you get walking in these things, your body starts to line up. You're taking the life that's on the inside of you and your spirit and starting to bring it out, that it floods into your soul, into your physical body, into your finances, into your social life, into everything, your relationships, everything. So I believe he gave you a little tidbit today. I believe it's plenty enough to meditate on for the week and to get these things in your heart. God is very serious about this. We've always said this before. Jesus didn't die on the cross and go to hell and pay the price for your sin just so you could pay your bills. Now, that's good that that's available, but that's only a starting place. And God's given you all of his promises, but not for the purpose of the promises. And we'll see that. And we'll find out that as we'll walk in the purpose, the promises will become easier. Lift your hands to the Lord. Lord, we bless you. We honor you, Lord God. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you are the majestic God, the Most High God. You are the one that supplies all of our needs. You are our healer, our deliverer, our provider, and our protector. Lord, I just thank you so much that you're more than enough in every situation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, if there's anything in your body, you need healing in your body, or you have pain in your body, I just want you to lift up your hands. If you don't need anything in your body, you don't need to lift it up. If you're on live stream or podcast, if you need healing in your body, or if there's pain in your body, anything with your physical body, I want you to lift your hand up. Now, when I'm talking about your physical body, I'm not talking about from your neck to your feet. I'm talking from the top of your head to the bottom of your toe. So I'm talking about inward, outward. I'm talking about brain function. I'm talking about anything that has to do with, you know, hormones, chemical balances, everything. That all has to do with the physical body. So if there's anything that you need, just lift your hand to the Lord. Now, Father, I just thank you that in your presence, Lord God, is your unlimited riches of your glory and your grace. Lord God, I thank you that you have provided this healing for every single one of us. And I speak your healing into their bodies in the name of Jesus. Father, whether it's something external, something internal, whether it has to do with the joints, the marrow, the bones, whether it has to do with ligaments or tendons or muscles, Lord, I speak to the blood cells. I speak to the oxygen in their body. Father, I speak to those chemicals to come into balance. Father, I speak in the name of Jesus to hormones, Father, to be balanced out, that they work like they're supposed to work and produce within our physical body that which needs to be produced. Father, I speak wholeness and wellness, Father, to the five senses within each and every single person, Father. I speak, Father, to any reports that they may have gotten from a doctor that seemed to be a bad report. We speak wholeness and wellness over those reports in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just thank you so much, Father, that you said that where the word of a king is, there is power. That we speak your word over these things. Father, we decree and we declare. Father, you said that whatsoever things that we would not just ask, but that which we would decree and we would declare and that which we would demand, Father, you said that you would do it. So we speak these things, Father, in healing and demand healing into their body. And we demand that the devil let go of them. We call your grip to be loosed on every single person in the name of Jesus. And we call that you will back off and you will back away. And you must only stand to the side and see the salvation come to pass in their life. See healing happen in their life. See deliverance happen in their life. And you will not stop it. You cannot stop it. You have no right. You have no place. We say that you are pushed away, pushed off, and pushed back in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Father, that your healing anointing right now is alive, real, and even tangible inside of each and every person that has come before you right now for healing and wholeness in their body. We thank you for that, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Say, I receive that. Hallelujah. Do you receive it? Do you receive that in your body today? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for your very presence, your anointing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we do know that you walk within the midst of your church, and we pray that all the glory and all the honor was given to you today, for only you are deserving of it all. We come before you, Father, to honor you with our giving, to take of the substance of our life and to bring it to you and lay it at the altar and bless you, for you have blessed us with life, not just life, but a wildly extravagant life gift. that you have restored our position of sovereignty and made us to reign as kings in life. So we offer this to you today with our tithes and with our offerings, with a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of gratitude. And thank you, Father, that you will watch over your word to perform it in our life, that as we give, it's given back to us, and we'll be able to do more of what you'd have us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you joined us on live stream and podcast, thanks for being with us today. If you'd like to sow seed into the ministry, go to our website, newlifefamilyworship.net, and click on the giving link. Remember, God has set you in a place of sovereignty. You are the one that's in charge. He has given you regal freedom, majestic, lavish, overflowing, over-the-top freedom into your life. And you can take it. You can choose to walk in it. You can take hold of it. It belongs to you. It's been provided for you. And you are king under the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not let any devil, any demon, or anything of the world push you around or tell you otherwise. You are king. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.